We are at the Mishnah Kuvdal Ramanal. What's our goal? We're going to try to get, I don't know, we'll try to go pretty far. We'll try to go somewhere on Kuvdal Ramad Bay. So let's see how far we get. So says the Mishnah. So this Mishnah talks about a person gets a field with the idea that he's going to work on the field, and working on the field means planting the field, and then he doesn't do anything. He just, you know, he accepts the agreement, the arrangement, and then he just, you know, gets lazy. Hamakabel sadeh mechavero vehovira. You're makabel the field. You're supposed to be a sharecropper. So why would I give you a field as a sharecropper? Because you're going to work in it. You're going to produce crops, and when you produce crops, you're going to give me
a percentage,
a share, right? So that's what share comes. So you're going to give me a percentage of the field. But then you decide, you know what? You know it's more fun than working a field? Not working a field. So you just leave it alone. You don't do anything with it. Right. So, I mean, you know, you're lazy, you're enjoying. So, you know, Shaminosa Kamaru Uyalasa. So then we assess how much that field should have produced, Vinosinlo. And then you're responsible to pay the percentage of what the field should have produced, because you didn't do any work. Shakach Kosevlo, because the Oris writes, the sharecropper writes to the owner of the field, when he accepts it, the deal is, the standard language of the contract was, Im Ovir Velo Avid Ashalim B'mitva. That if I leave the field empty and I do not work the field the way I'm supposed to, I will pay you from the best. Meaning I'll pay you what the field should have produced based on if it were properly plowed and planted and everything. I would give you a percentage of what it should have produced. So, summarize the Mishnah in one sentence. The Mishnah says, good. If you don't work the field, if a sharecropper doesn't work the field, he pays the percentage of what it should have produced. So now the Gemara brings a lot of Tanayim that discuss different languages that they use in these agreements. So Rameir Yadorish Lashon Hedyot. Rameir used to try to figure out halachos from Lashon Hedyot. What does Hedyot mean?
Like normal.
Yeah, normal, like regular. Right, like a Kohen Hedyot. That he would, even though these were not Lashonos, these were not languages that we're about to discuss, that Chachamim came up with, they're just Lashonos Hedyot. A Lashon that Hedyot comes up with, the Rashi tells Hedyot is from the same root as idiot. That the idea of an idiot is that he's nothing special, he has no, so that's Hedyot. That's where we have Birchas Hedyot, Alte Kalabeinach, the Gemara says. The bracha of.
Idiot should be light in your eyes.
Yeah, even the bracha of an idiot, even the bracha of a nobody shouldn't be light in your eyes. You have to take it seriously when an idiot gives you a bracha. You always take it seriously. You never know what kind of zechus someone has. That's why someone asked Moshe Feinstein once why it is that he gives brachos. Do you think you're such a big tzaddik? And Moshe said, no, I don't think I'm such a big tzaddik. I think even a birchas hedyot shouldn't be kalabeinach. And so when people ask for a bracha, I give a bracha. He said, what?
Which
had you asked him that? That's a good question. So Baruch Moshe explains in the tshuva why he said, I would not give brachos, because I think a lot of times when people are asking me, they think that I'm something special just because I have the title Rosh Yeshiva, just because I'm that's my job, so they think I'm something special. But if I would tell them that, he said, I've tried this before. I tell them, look, you should go to a real tzaddik, you shouldn't come to me. But then they just say that I'm humble. So like it doesn't go anywhere. So I have to just give the bracha instead, which, you know, you hear it's tough to be Ramosha, you know? Like, so Rameir Dorish Lashon Hedyot. Rabbi Meir used to darshan a Lashon Hedyot, the languages of Hedyotim. Titania, because the Brisa tells us about a sharecropper that who leaves the field unworked. Rameir says that he's got to pay the owner of the field because he writes the Lashon of Im Ovir Velo Avid Ashalim B'mitva. That exact language that we had in the Mishnah. What does that language mean? Im Ovir Velo Avid.
If I don't work, I'll pay you.
Good. If I don't work, I'm going to pay you. So that's what Mary said. Okay, so you got to do that. Rabbi Yehuda Yudorish Lashon Hedyot. Rabbi Yehuda also used to darshan the language that was employed by regular people, because the Brisa, nothing to do with fields anymore, but once we're on the topic of Lashon Hedyot, the Brisa says, you know, there used to be a deal that was made between husband and wife. That Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Adam Mevi Korban Ashir Al Ishto. There are certain karbanos called the karban olaviyari. Anyone familiar with what that is, karban olaviyari? So there is a notion of a karban ola. This is different. Karban olaviyari. One phrase. It's olaviyari.
bring it up and then you go down.
No, oliviori means that it's depending on how wealthy you are, you bring a different thing for the carbon, something more expensive or less expensive. So the oliviori is that if a person is an ashir, he's a rich person, he brings a behema. He can't afford it, so he'll bring a bird, or maybe even a mincha, flower, exactly. So that's an oliviori. Let's say a woman is chayiv a carbon, that's a carbon oliviori, like a yoledas, a mitzaras, she's chayiv a carbon oliviori, and the husband is very rich. She is not from a wealthy family, and she doesn't have any of her own personal wealth, but the husband is very rich. So the husband's responsible to make sure that she brings the highest end carbon. And he can't say, what do you mean? Why should she bring an expensive carbon? She's poor. She's just lucky that she married a rich guy like me, but she's poor. So let her bring flour. No, if the husband is rich, then they got to pay for the expensive carbon, because... That's what Rabbi Yehuda Darshan. That's the assumption that a woman has as a chiyuv. V'chein, and a husband also has to give his wife money for kol carbon v'carbon shechayeves. Any carbon that she's chayev to bring, even if it's not a carbon oliviori, just a regular carbon. Whatever carbon she's chayev to bring, husband's got to give her money for it. Shekach kosev la, because that's what he writes to her. When does a husband write to his wife that he's going to be obligated to pay for certain things?
A ksuba,
exactly. That's what he writes to her in the ksuba. Achrayus di islich alai min kadamas dana. That any obligation that you have is on me. I will pay it. Even the karbanos that you were chayiv to bring before we ever got married, I'm going to pay for it. So two lashonos hedyot so far that we darshan. And Meir darshan's a lashon hedyot that teaches what? Good. When you don't do the work in the field, you still have to pay. Rabbi Yehuda darshan zalosh and hedyot to teach us
that a husband is
pays for all the wife's karbanos, and even if she's poor, he's got to pay. If he's wealthy, he's got to pay for the highest end karbanos. These are the things that he obligates himself in the ksuba. That's why a lot of people are not so excited about the idea of people getting super fancy ksubas and putting it in a frame and hanging it on the wall, because they find it like a little strange. Because what does the ksuba say?
It says
your names, and it says that I am obligated to do this, that, and the other thing, and particularly if I die or we get divorced, then you're going to get this amount of money. So some people find it like,
really nice.
Why would you put that on the wall?
It's really nice to stare at when you're sitting in your living room.
Right, exactly. You know, like the death/divorce document.
You just look at like the nice little peacocks in the corner.
Yeah, so I was a Masar Kiddushin at a wedding yesterday, and they must have paid, I don't know what they paid for the ksuba, but there are people that do this for a living. They make very beautiful, fancy ksubas. Okay, so very nice. But you have to be very careful, because a lot of people that make the fancy ksubas don't know the halachos of writing the ksubas. So that's a problem too. You have to be in contact with the Masar Kiddushin to make sure that they like know what they're doing. Otherwise, because it makes you feel terrible when they paid like, $1,500 for a ksuba, and you're like, oh, this is puzzle. And throw it out, and then like take out a napkin and write a new ksuba. So it's not a napkin, but you take out like the $4 one that you get at Judaica Plus. Hillel HaZaken, Hayidorish Lashon Hedyot. Hillel HaZaken used to also darshan Lashon Hedyot. So this is the third Lashon Hedyot that we darshan. Ditanya, because the Brisa says, Anche Alexandria in Mekachinus Noshasayim, the people of Alexandria. Where's Alexandria?
Egypt,
good. They would be Mekadesh their wives. Ubishas Knisos on the Chuppah, Boyin Acherim V'chotvim Olsamehen. And this was apparently the practice. When they would bring them into the Chuppah, other men would come and grab these women from the husbands and marry them. Ubikshu chacham lasos b'nei mamzerim. So the chacham said, wait a second, that's going to mean that all the kids are going to be mamzerim, because this woman is mekudeshes to another guy, and then some other guy went and chapped her. I mean, it makes every wedding more exciting, right? You show up to the wedding, you don't know who the chassan is going to be, because someone is going to grab her at the last minute. So Amar lehen, what? At Kiddushin, and then someone else chaps her for the Nisuin and says he's about to take her. Someone else chaps her. So this was the practice that I don't know. Amalan Hillel HaZaken, so Hillel HaZaken said, He said, let me see the ksuba that your mother got from the first husband. They brought the mother's ksuba. And he found written in the ksuba, that from the time you enter the chuppah with me for nisuin, that's when you should be my wife. Meaning they were careful to put in writing that the kiddushin should only take effect when? Not when they give the ring, but after the chuppah. So Los Ibn Mamzerim, so comes along, who was it, Hilazaki, and he says, guess what? You're not Mamzerim. Why not? Oh, you never got married to the first husband because your mother's never made it all the way to the chuppah. The first marriage was dependent on reaching the chuppah. That was Lashon Hedyot number 3 that the Gemara dashens. Number 4, Rabbi. That was 4? No, that was 3. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, that is Hilazaki. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Yadorish Lashon Hedyot. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha used to darshan Lashon Hedyot to Tanya. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Hamalve Eschavero. Let's say a person lends somebody a certain amount of money, and the guy didn't pay back on time, and now the malva wants to take a collateral from the lova through a shliach bezin. He's going to send the shliach bezin into the guy's house, get me a collateral because he hasn't paid me back. Lo yimashkinenu yoser michovo. Whatever he takes as a collateral cannot be what?
Obligate.
Cannot be yoser michovo.
Greater than
the actual amount of the loan. Why? Because shekach kosev lo, because what they would write in the agreement was tashlumto di islach alai kol kaval dichi, the payment that you're supposed to take from me, that's the value of the collateral that you can take from me. So if the malva were to take from the lova a mashkon that's worth more than the value, he'll be able to ultimately get back the value of the mashkon. Meaning the deal was, what they wrote was, I will pay you back the value of the mashkon that you take from me. So therefore, they have to be very careful that the mashkon that he took from him was only worth what the loan was actually worth. Yeah, that would be a problem. If it ended up being more. So the Gemara assumes that the lova has to write this to the malva, so that if the lova dies while the malva still has the mashkon, the malva could just collect it from Yisomim, and it's not going to be like normally metaltling of Yisomim is not meshubah the balchov. The balchov doesn't get to collect it. But if they write this in a document, then and he's holding on to the mashkon, he'll be able to keep it. So taima dekasav lehachi. The reason he's allowed to collect from these somim is because they have this deal written in the shtar. Ha'ilokasav lehachi lo kanya. Sounds like if they didn't write this, then he would not be allowed to collect it. Ivam Rabbi Yochanan, but didn't Rabbi Yochanan tell us Mishkino veheishav lo mashkon? If the malva took a mashkon from the lova and he returned the mashkon so that the lova could use it, what does it mean? Return the mashkon so the lova could use it. We learned something about that, right? A guy takes a mashkon. What does he take? Let's say he takes clothing. So what's the halacha? What does he have to do when he takes clothing? If he takes clothing from a person who's poor, the person's obviously poor, they're in debt, what does he have to do? He has to return it whenever the person needs the clothing. So if they... What? So if he takes a pillow, he's got to return it every night. And then he could take something, you know, when he returns the pillow, he could exchange it for something else. So let's say I took something, I gave it back to you so you could use it. I'm not keeping it, I'm just holding it as a mashkon. So every time you need to use it, I'll give it back to you. And then umeis, the lova dies while he still has the mashkon. Shomto me'al gabe banav. The malva could take it from the children of the lova. So it sounds like even without any special deal, you're allowed to collect from the yasamim. So why do you have to write something special? It shouldn't involve writing anything special. So says Gemara, ahani ksiva legira'on. You know, the writing this special language helps in case the mashkon goes down in value by the lova using it. If the lova would not have been mechayev himself in a shtar, the malva would lose whatever, what do you call it? What do you call it when something goes down in value? Whatever, depreciation, right? The depreciation of the item. But since the lova is meshabed is nechasim, keneged, whatever that mashkon is worth, the malva can get paid back even from other nechasim of the lova. He doesn't have to just get the mashkon, he can take anything. So since they wrote in the shtar, you can take my stuff that's worth the value of this loan, it doesn't have to be the mashkon. It can even be other stuff, just in case the mashkon depreciated. So that was statement number 4, that was Lashon Hedyot. Statement number 5, and I think there's a last Lashon Hadyot. Statement number 5, Rabbi Yossi Yadorish Lashon Hadyot. Rabbi Yossi used to darshan Lashon Hadyot. It's fun, when the Gemara does stuff like this, you know, it's just, there's no topic over here. It's just Lashon Hadyot. So we're jumping around from all over Shas. So we had Malve and Lova, and we had fields, and we had marriages, and we had Karbanos, that a husband is chayiv in, right, all over the place we're discussing. So Rabbi Yossi Yadorish Lashon Hadyot, Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Makom shenagu lasus ksuba milva gova milva. What does that mean? If they have a minag that they value all the nechassim that the woman brings into the marriage from her father's house, a woman gets married, she doesn't have nothing. She has stuff. She's got her iPad, right? She's got her clothing. She has her shoes. She has whatever stuff. She has a collection of stuff, right, that she brings into the marriage. So it used to be that they would actually get all of her stuff together. They would send an assessor into her house, and he'd, you know, come with a, you know, with a whatever, with a list, and he'd start assessing what everything's worth, and he'd say, okay, she's bringing into the marriage $20,000 worth of stuff, and you'd have to add that into the ksuba, that this is what you're committing yourself to. Do we still do that? No, as you might have guessed, we don't. But what do we do instead? We come up with an estimate of what she's bringing in, and we estimate every girl the same. Why? I don't know. It's just easier that way. So what is the estimate that we give? If you ever had a wedding and you listen to the ksuba, we say that that he's going to pay mea zukukim kesef tsaruf. He's paying 100 zukukim, some type of German silver coin, which is worth, I don't know, thousands of dollars. He's paying her. Why? Because that's what we're assessing that she's bringing into the marriage. It happens to be when they first put that text in the ksuba, no one had that kind of money. It was like something that they did to make themselves feel better. Everyone was dirt poor. And then the woman would bring, you know, maybe she had one dress, you know? So they would write, Mayaz Gugum Kasav Sarf, to like make everyone feel good. Like, oh, look, we're so rich. He's committing to. But then he does, in fact, actually have to pay it, yes.
Are we still using this German currency? We're not.
So there's a certain weight of silver that German currency, but we still use it, exactly. And then not only that, for the Tosefis Ksuba, there's also a part of the Ksuba, you know, at every wedding, the Masada Kiddushin says to the Chassan, when the Chassan is, before the Ksuba is signed, the Chassan does what's called the Kabbalah's Kinyan. He picks up something to show that he's committed to paying the Ksuba. So the Masada Kiddushin, what? Yeah, pen or something like that. So the Masada Kiddushin will say, are you committed to all three parts of the ksuba? And the chassan will pick up the pen. Yes. And the chassan has no idea what he's signing on to. He has no idea what the three parts of the ksuba are. What are the three parts of the ksuba? There's Masayim Zuz for a Besula, right? So assume she's a Besula, Masayim Zuz. Then there's, because he loves her and he just wants to give her extra, he gives her Meya Zukukim Kesef Tsaruf. And then to assess the stuff that she brings into the marriage, also Meya Zukukim Kesef Tsaruf. Those are the three parts of the ksuba. So now when you get married and the Masada Kiddushin says it, you'll smile and you'll know what you're committing to. I remember at my wedding, Rosh Hashanah said, all three parts of the ksuba, you know what they are? And I'm like, and I didn't. And I just did the kinyan anyway, because I wasn't in the mood for a sure
problem. Now we might hesitate when we pick up the pen.
But you're committing whatever it is. It's you're married anyway. So, 200 for a besula. then 200 zukukim, right? 100 for the for what she's bringing into the marriage, and 100 just tosefes ksuba because you love her. It's a lot of money. Yeah. Many thousands of dollars. Yes, $30,000. It's a lot of money. Yeah. So Rabbi Yossi darshan lashon hadyot, magush no galasus ksub milva. So when they assess the value, what she brought in, if the woman became an almana or they got divorced, meaning the husband died and they got divorced, she would collect all the nechassim that it says in the Shtar Ksuba. So just like a malva collects from a lova whatever it says in the Shtar, the woman could collect. So she could go. She could collect. The husband at the time of the wedding can collect that amount of money because that's what she's expected to bring into the marriage. That's what they assessed she's supposed to bring into the marriage. So it becomes like a chov that the father of the kala has got to make sure that she comes in with that amount of stuff. But in a place where the minig is lichpol, to evaluate what her nechasim are worth, what her stuff is worth that she's bringing in, and to double that evaluation, just to give kavod to the woman. Like I was telling you before, these people are very poor, and they still called it meyaz kukim kasef sarf. So gova mechza. So then, when it comes to actually collecting, the expectation is always only that she has to bring in half of what it actually says, because the minute was that they would say some big number that was actually double of what she actually had. Narbalai gavutilta, in a place called Naharvil, they collected tilta. What's tilta? Tilta is 1/3. Why 1/3? Because probably when they assessed what she was bringing in, they tripled it. Yeah, why not? You can write whatever you want. So so when it came, since everyone knew that was their minug, so when it came to actually collecting, it was like all code word. Like if it says $3 million, it really means $1 million. Maramer magvi nami shivcha. Maramer used to collect from the father of the girl whatever it says in the ksuba, even though it was a place where they would double it or whatever, he would collect the full amount. So Ravina le Maramer. So Ravina said to Maramer, "Va'atanya lichbal govemechza. Don't you know the halacha is that if they double the number, you're always supposed to only collect half? How do you have them collect the whole thing?" Says Maralo Kasha, "Had kanimine, had lo kanimine." When Maramer collected everything, that's if there was a kinyan that the father of the girl made a maisa kinyan on whatever's written in the shtar, and therefore he's committing himself to whatever's actually really written in the shtar. When we say that you only collect half, a third, you follow whatever the minig is, that's if there was no actual kinyan, that the father of the girl didn't make a kinyan to be mechayev himself. And when we go to a wedding, if you're ever at the chasen's tish, you'll see the father of the girl and the father of the chasen also make a kinyan, but that's not on this. That's something else. What's that kinyan for? Anyone know? There's something called the tanoim, the shtar tanoim. That's when the mothers break the plate. The shtar tanoim, exactly. The shtar tanoim is about, it used to be done like many months or even a year before the wedding, and it was about what they were committing to pay for. So the father of the bride would say, okay, I'm committing to pay for the caterer and whatever. And the father of the groom would say, okay, I'm committing to pay for the flowers. And they would make all the financial arrangements between the two fathers. They would make that commitment. And that was like a binding document. Nowadays, that's silly to do that because we do it all at the wedding. So if they haven't yet decided by the time you get to the wedding who's paying for the flowers and who's paying for the liquor and who's paying for the band and who's paying for that, they haven't yet decided that, then there probably is no flowers and there's no liquor and no one's going to be there. So, but nowadays, it doesn't say that anymore. Moshe changed the whole Tanaim because he saw it didn't make sense anymore. So all of Moshe's Tanaim says is that the father is hereby committed to bring his son to the chuppah, and the other father is hereby committed to bring his daughter to the chuppah. They make a kinyan to show that they are 100% committed to that kvar niskaimu kol chiyuvim, that all the obligations are already taken care of, all the payments are already taken care of, and they have no taynas on each other, and all that's left to do is just get this couple married, and they commit to do that. So it doesn't really mean anything anymore. Like, there's no teeth to it anymore, but we still do it because mothers like to break plates. It gets out some aggression. Last night I was at a wedding, and the mothers broke the plates. Yesterday afternoon, actually, the mothers broke the plates, and one mother took the hammer after the plate was broken and started smashing it more. She continued to smash. I've never seen that before, but she continued to smash the plate. So it was a very interesting hanhaga.
It was a stressful week.
Yeah, she was. So that plate will not survive. So Ravina Mishabeach uksiv lebarte. Ravina, when he married off his daughter, he would write double the amount of the actual nechasim, what they were actually worth, for his daughter. So amrulei nikni minei demar. So they said, let's make a kinyan. You mean you're being mechayiv yourself and all this? Make a kinyan. So amrulei, what do you say? If I make a kinyan, what's that going to mean? What do we just say? Then I'm going to have to actually pay that amount. So he says, imikna lo michbal. Oh, wait a second. I'll make a kinyan, but then I'm not writing double. Because, if I make an imichbel, if I'm writing double, then lo mikna, then I'm not going to make a kinyan. Because that doesn't, it doesn't work. Period. So, one second. So, how many lishonos hedyot did we have? Let's quickly chazer. We had five? So, what was the first one? First one was Rabbi Meir. What was Rabbi Meir about with the field? Yeah, that what? If you don't work it, then you got to pay what it should have produced. Second lashon hadiyot was Yeah, about a carbon olive yore, that that what? That a... Good. A rich husband pays for the most expensive carbon if his wife, even if his wife is poor. Third one was Hillel. Hillel darshaned what?
Alexandria.
Yeah, what about the Anshe Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim?
They're not mamzerim because it says on the fig that you're not.
Good. They're not mamzerim even though their wives were chapped at the last minute because the kiddushin was conditional on seeing the chuppah through. Then we had Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. What was Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha? With the collateral, that what that they would write in the shtar that you can collect from whatever nechasim I have, and then therefore even if the collateral itself went down in value, you were able to collect from whatever nechasim I have. And then the fifth one was Rabbi Yossi. What was Rabbi Yossi? The last one, the ksuba. What was it? That sometimes they would write double the price, triple the price, things like that, but they didn't really mean it. It didn't really mean double, triple the price. They were just doing it to make it, you know, as a covenant for the kala. But when is that binding? If they write double the price or double the value or triple the value, when is it binding?
When he makes a
kinyan. If the father of the kala makes a kinyan on something like that, that will be binding. Kupchik, you'll be able to.